What's up, guys? Welcome to the FloTCast 4, episode 111. Yes, 111. Bro.
The triple one, bro?
The triple one, buddy. We made it. Finally. 6 years later. Speaking of
number ones, Hayden Deegan, Brian Deegan, the famous Brian Deegan's son, just won his rookie year on Super Motocross, so shout out to him.
I don't know anything about that, but I appreciate you bringing that up. But did you know we hit our four-year anniversary last month, too?
Really?
Yeah, like end of August.
That's crazy, dog. I've been doing this podcast for as long as I've been married. That's insane.
Oh. I've been
doing such a cute couple.
Thanks, buddy. I can't believe we've been doing this on and off for 4 years. We set our FloTCast status back in December as it's complicated. Anyway, we got a good one for you guys today. I hope so. But before we do anything, Scott, how are you doing, my man?
Man, I'm tired this morning, I'll tell you that much. But good, working every day, doing my thing. They started making fun of me at work because I'm taking on more roles. So now I got like four desks in different areas. Like I don't have four desks combined. I have four desks in different areas. So that's kind of funny. But I'm getting excited for the first cup I'm going to play this season. So ready to go 0-3 and go get some ice cream and call it a day.
First and only cup is what he meant to say. Matt, happy 3 week anniversary for you, buddy. How are you?
Woo! I am fantastic. I recently put in my 2 weeks notice, leaving my position at this company to stay with this company for another position. One that I think will be better suited.
That feels good, huh?
Oh, it feels so good. It feels so fantastic.
I can't relate. I don't know what that feels like.
Instead of working with my hands, I'll get to work with my brain.
Oh, my God.
Are you sure that'll be better suited, bud?
We'll see. We'll see.
Congratulations anyhow, man. I hope you kill it over there.
Yeah, man. I'm super excited for you. Not because of you getting a better position, but the location that your better position is at. That's what I'm excited about.
Oh, yeah, I know. It'll be nice to be. I don't know what I'm looking forward to the most. I mean, obviously, slight pay raise, that's always good, but it could either be the fact that it'll be air conditioned in the summer and heated in the winter, or that it's not just a mosquito nest. My legs are all eaten up from mosquitoes. I am ready to get out of there.
Yeah, for those that don't know, Matt actually is coming from the same place that I left, and they got a huge mosquito in the drain problem that they can't get rid of. It's almost a biohazard, honestly.
Mosquitoes and wasps.
Sir, you're not the only one that's left that place.
Yeah, but you didn't really count because you were in an air-conditioned office, so it's not real.
true. It does get hot as fuck up in there. I ain't even going to lie to you. Like, when I have to leave my air-conditioned space to go to the bathroom, like, I'm sweating on the way to the bathroom.
I just find it super funny, though, because, like, the supervisor there, right? Whenever Maxlow started, Scott left, and then they told Maxlow that he needed to have that Scott energy. And he needed to be like Scott. So what'd he do? Quit. And one of my coworkers, me and him would work together, and he's actually the one that told me about this position when it opened up, so I applied for it. They told me I needed to be like him. I'm like, oh yeah, he did a lot. We want you to be like him. We want you to be the next him because we see potential in you. You can step it up and do this. So what I do, same thing he did. Quit. And so I told him, I was like, maybe you should just start letting people be their own people and doing stuff and quit telling them to be other people. And they didn't like that too much. But I thought it was funny.
Have you gotten the sad 80s music, like, played on his phone to you when, like, every time you walk by, or not yet?
No, I just get the short timer and the quitter and whatnot, and,
yeah.
I just kind of chuckle, and I'm like, look, you had every opportunity to keep me, but the company's offering me a position, so I just tell them that I'm a company man at heart, and I am here to serve them. And if they want to offer me a promotion and more responsibility, I'm obligated to take it.
Yeah. Every time I walk back in there, it's like, all by myself. I'm like, my bad, dog. What do you want me to do? That's crazy. But I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for asking once again.
I wasn't going to ask, honestly.
You look
kind of ugly this morning, so I assumed that you weren't doing very well.
Oh, buddy. It's been a week. For those who don't know, my son was born last Monday. Shout out to him. And shout out to life, I guess. I mean, the 4 days, 5 days he's had. He's doing great. He's a beauty. Ascot. And Matt.
Yeah.
Matt's seen a picture.
I have.
Yeah. Scott's met him. And, makes Scott want to have his son yesterday, but.
Right.
But I don't know if he knows this, guys, but that's not how it works.
No. No, the craziest thing, though, is he came out holding a contract to the Detroit Red Wings. So,
dude, dude, it was the wingspan, bud. Like, he's got these lanky arms. I'm like, is he already a 5-star recruit to Ohio State?
No. Do you keep your kid from going to college if he wants to go to Ohio State?
Absolutely not. I'll be the biggest Ohio State Buckeyes fan you'll ever see in your life. Like, if my son, like, became a hockey player or a sports player and got a scholarship to Ohio State, I'm putting the shirt on. I don't give a shit. And then he gets drafted by the Penguins. I'm the biggest Penguins fan you've ever met. Matter of fact, I'm going to live in Pittsburgh if that happens. Maybe not, but I'll be up there a lot.
I don't know. We got some fellow podcast co-hosts, no free ads. Love you guys though. That would tell you it's a great place to live, but, It ain't Alabama. Speaking of Alabama and hockey, did you see how bad D3 hockey went for the new University of Alabama Birmingham teams?
No.
Okay, so they just re-got their team together, right? And the University of Alabama's D3 team beat them 27-3 and then 29-0.
Are you talking about the Chargers? Like UAH?
No.
Oh.
No, UAB. UAB. Oh.
And University of Alabama, like, where the Roll Tide, like.
Yeah, Roll Tide, Alabama. So they got a D3 team.
God damn.
And then Auburn just beat them, like, 19-0 or something like
God
that, too.
God
like,
damn. I always laugh, like, we'll get to Pokemon in a minute, but I would always laugh because, like, they'll do the, the international contest, like the World Cup or World Junior Championships and stuff like that for men's and women. And when Canada would play, like, Latvia or something, it was like the Canadian women's team was playing Latvia and beat them 81-0. And I'm like, how the fuck? You're scoring a goal, like, almost a goal a minute. It feels like.
Yeah, one of the guys, like, he had, like, 10 goals and, like, 11 assists or some shit.
Jesus
Christ, like, bro, get that man off the ice. Like,
yo, retire. Like, once it hits 10-0, you're done, dude. You're not coming back from that. Like, why'd they keep going?
In UAB's defense, the goalie's been skating for 7 days before the first game, so.
Are you saying I could have got a scholarship to UAB to play one shift?
Listen, I don't know if any of those guys have scholarships or if they just want, like, they're all walk-ons because it's the first time, you know, of the reunite or whatever. But, yeah, I guess it sounds like they just convinced some dude in math class to play goalie and he's never put on a pair of skates before in his life.
Oh, my God. All right. So to Pokemon, you know, we are a Pokemon trading card game podcast. I'm going to be honest with everyone, and I have a great excuse. I have not followed it the last week. So, Scott, first thing we always talk about, did you play Friday?
I did play Friday, yes, sir.
What did you
I played the Kirlia Charizard list that I played last Friday, but with one adjustment. I took out one of the reversal energies because I only needed it once ever. And I put in another fire energy because I was always short on fire energy. That ended up costing me my one loss because I could not find a way to retreat the Gallade after I attacked with it. The only time I attacked with it. But other than that, I won all my games. They were good games, but I feel like the deck is like stupidly deceivingly strong. And it's fun to play, so I went 3-1, ended up getting 5th because, you know, bubbles, but it was a good time. You know, can't complain. Deck did what deck was supposed to do. Had some really wonky hands, but the good thing about that thing is it plays so many duplicates that even wonky hands could be played out of after one Iono, so.
Is that what you're playing this afternoon for the cup?
I don't think so. Oh. It doesn't feel strong enough.
What are you thinking about playing? Because this will air after the cup, so.
Yeah, I think I'm going to play Single Strike Lugia again. Maridons be damned. I think I can just avoid the Maridons or beat them.
I think you could. I mean, you could beat them, right? You just win the prize trade.
Well, right? So the thing about it is if I can get two Lugias down, I could take one of them being knocked out and then set up the no, I don't play the Stone Joiner. I play the Urshifu.
That's because you're bad, bro. Oh my god. Get this guy off my fucking podcast. No, I'm just playing.
No, because they can't one shot the Urshifu. I guess they could with Raichu.
Or Zapdos if they play it.
Or Zapdos. But like in a good world, I can attack with Urshifu, then evolve him and attack again, so or I could just take the big knockout with a three energy attack, you know, with all single strike energies. I can knock out anything, so I don't know. I like it. It's strong. It's I think I can get it done, but I know the deck better than any other deck right now, so I thought about playing not Giratina. Giratina's always in the back of my mind, but I thought about playing, what's the psychic stupid girl?
Gardevoir?
Gardevoir, yeah.
Gardevoir but can be a male and female, sir.
Yeah, but it wears a dress. So,
what does that mean?
I'll refer to them as they. like, no offense to anybody, I just couldn't remember the name. But they are a strong deck, I just don't know the deck very well, so.
That's fair. Matt, did you play on Friday?
I did. Played old Maridon again, and everything was going well, but by the end of the night, like, I was just completely zoned out and tired, and I think what really, I went 2-2, so what I think really cost me the last game is I kind of completely zoned out when setting up my board using, you know, onboard VIP pass, and accidentally set down another Maridon instead of a Mareep. So when my next turn rolled around, I had Flaffy in hand. I was just like, okay, let's get. And I just sat there and like froze and started looking around and like looking at my discard pile, looking at my bench, like looking at everything. And I'm like, where's the Mareep? I don't see it anywhere. And that's when I realized, oh man, I accidentally grabbed the wrong card and that sucked. But one of the more fun games, I did play against Urshifu and Talion, and there was someone sitting to the left of me, like, giggling, like, oh, man, your window of opportunity is small. You better be sweating. You better, you know, better hurry up. And I believe I went first and got everything set up, and then they roped and managed to get the Urshifu out and everything. So I threw up the Zerora, which was a good call because it gave me a chance to respond. And then after their nuts of a hand first turn, they just immediately crumbled. And I ended up winning because I, due to some friendly trash talk, I ended up, you know, BMing and knocked out Illuminion with, like, I think it was like 920 damage to it or something. And I'm like, this is great. Because I ended up just throwing out Raichu and exploding everything. And I was like, yeah, this is great. Wasn't even scared.
I didn't even cry. I just did it. That's why they call me the goat.
But it was fun.
That's good. I'm glad to hear, man. And Scott, stop bubbling tournaments. Take home dubs, especially today. You're literally our lone representative for the first ever League Cup in the location that it's at. And unfortunately, I wish I could go.
You can. You just end up losing everything.
Including all your matches.
Yeah, you go lose your life. Your locks would be changed, and you'd lose all your matches.
No, what would happen is I'd go, and I'd get a text message. What time will you be home? And I'll be like, I don't know. And it'd be like, and then I'll drop after a win, and be like, I think I gotta go home, guys. And then I'll go home. And all my shit will be gone. Yeah, that would fucking suck. Yeah, I'm not going. I'm gonna stay put for a little while. I'll be on the sidelines. Is it gonna be streamed?
No.
Yeah, I know. That was a joke. I was about to say, I can
commentate
from Discord.
It could be streamed if I wanted to bring the whole setup.
True. But yesterday, or God, Jesus, what's today? Sunday? Two days ago, a special set was released and feeds the nostalgia dopamine that everybody gets. It's 151. 151 is officially out. And it's looking to actually be a pretty decent set as far as, like, playability is concerned, too. I was actually just thinking about it before the podcast, and I don't really remember the last time there was a competitively viable holiday set to come out since Shining Legends, I think. Is that off base? Uh-huh. Or?
No, that's pretty fair. I don't know how competitively viable the set as a whole is. Just like with every holiday set, there's like a few cards, but
I'm talking about like something. I'm not saying anything in here could take over the format. Although Mew EX is looking pretty nasty, we'll talk about that. But like, there's some really good cards in here. Like, you got Mew EX, as I alluded to. Blastoise EX is getting some love just because it's essentially a 360 beat stick or 360 HP beat stick with its ability. This Ditto V, what is it? Or not Ditto V, once during Ditto, I'm reading it. Give me a second.
Yeah, it's just the regular Ditto.
Search your deck for a basic Pokemon, except Ditto. If you do, discard this Pokemon and put the chosen card in its place. Like, that's pretty cool. Like, during your first turn. But you'd have to play, like, four of that. Anyway. But there's some really good cards in here, I feel like. And, but, Matt, we'll start with you on this one. What are some cards you're looking at in this set, like, to, you know, try competitively and play?
So the Zapdos EX, I mean, obviously it'll go good in Maridon, I'm pretty sure. The Blastoise, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, just a tanky beat stick, as you said, but I feel like it's too clunky. I've seen gameplay of it. I tried it on PTCGL, and I'm not a huge fan of it. It's just, I don't know. It feels like a lot more work than just using Champao. But obviously the Mu EX is going to be a huge hit. I think there's also a chance to add some spice with the new Charizard too. Just for the simple fact of it can hit 330, and you can also just pair it with like Magma Basin, Balloon, and Cheryl, and continuously swing for 160 with one energy. So it's not bad at all. But I honestly just wish that there was going to be a good Eeveelution single prize deck. Because the Eeveelutions hit for 90, and if you're hitting into an EX or a V, it does an extra 90 damage. So then you can, you know, pair that with weakness and then super effective glasses and be swinging big for single prizers. But I don't foresee that being good. And it's unfortunate.
Scott, we do have to mention that there is an Oddish card in the set. So go nuts.
Yeah, so Oddish is in the set. It's got a really cool art form, actually. And it's going to win the world championship.
For two energy, it does 20 damage.
But for one energy, it devolves all of your Pokemon.
Yeah.
All of your opponent's Pokemon. Yeah. Oddish.
I tell you what, though. I think there are some absolutely hilarious cards that, I mean, I love playing meme decks just because, I mean, they're absolute memes, right? And who doesn't love a good laugh? So looking at the Weezing, he has an ability, Let's Have a Blast, and if he's in the active spot and is knocked out by damage, you flip a coin, and if it's heads, the attacking Pokemon is knocked out. I just feel like that could have a potential to be absolutely so funny, and I don't know why.
There used to be a card called Frostlass that did the same thing, and this kid went on a tangent at one of our cups and was like, we ended up, this was at the Deep years ago, but we ended up facing each other in the finals, and I was sweating it. I was playing Zoro Garb, and I was sweating it because I saw this kid like wreck all these like GX decks, and then like it was like turn two, and I was like, wait, I'm playing Garbodor, so I attached the Float Stone and just like won the game because his whole win con was GX is knocking him out. But well, yeah, it could be hilarious, especially because you can't turn that off right now. So,
bro, I would be so like, I don't know if I'd be tilted or like how I would feel if like that happened to me. Like if I went up against that and he just kept flipping heads, I'm like, fuck, dude. He's like, you got to take six prizes. I only need three, buddy.
And I mean, statistically speaking, right, out of six prizes, he's going to flip three heads. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Like, I'd be.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know what deck I'm going to play, but I want to include four grabbers. Because I think grabber could just have the potential to be a fantastic card.
What does it do?
Your opponent reveals their hand. You put a Pokemon you find there on the bottom of their deck. So then you just get to see their whole hand, go ahead and disrupt it and put a Pokemon on the bottom. And then right after that, you just know, okay, do I need to go ahead and judge? Or would it be better to research? I can play out of their hand now. And that way, you're not sitting there having to guess or take like a calculated risk of anything. And it's just, I don't know. I think grabber is fun.
That could be potentially lethal, especially in like a stall deck or something. Like, you know, they're searching for something. You Iono them to like two, and then you grabber the one card they need back to the bottom. Like, that'd be kind of fun.
Or it'd be good with Arbok, because you're discarding cards out of your hand with that attack. And like, if you reveal their hand and they ain't got shit in there, you can just like discard two cards or Iono them to four or three or something. Like, you could probably pair that with something like Arbok, and that could be some sort of like control deck.
Yeah.
That would be pretty good.
But then there's also, you know, the Jinx Hypno combo that I think would be fun to try. It just kind of involves a bit of setup, right? Because Jinx takes, I think it's three energy, but then whenever you play Hypno from your hand to evolve Drowsy. It makes their Pokemon asleep, and then Jinx for 3 energy is just, if your opponent's Pokemon is asleep, knock them out.
Yeah, that could be good too. That's a basic. I don't know why I thought it was a stage one for the longest time.
As it looks like it should evolve from something, like a human infant.
Smoochum?
Yeah, I mean it does, but it's a baby.
Yeah, baby Pokemon don't count.
Yeah, clearly.
Oh yeah, I had that question. Why are baby Pokemon not a part of evolution lines in the trading card game?
Because you can find them as basics in the wild. Baby Pokemon are you have basics, and then it takes more effort to get the baby in history. So like you would have to breed for the baby, but you would find it in the wild as the basic back in the old games. You couldn't just find the babies. Now you can find the babies in the wild, but back in the old games, you couldn't just find the babies.
My other question I've always had is why are some, like Lucario, for example, Riolu is considered a baby, but like in the trading card game, it's the basic in Lucario stage one.
Because you could have found Riolu without breeding in the old games.
Sir, in Diamond and Pearl, the only way you could get, Diamond and Pearl, the only way you could get a Riolu is if he gave you an egg with a Riolu in it. Get your facts straight.
But he gave you an egg.
Sir, you didn't find it in the wild. But you didn't find the shit in the wild.
You couldn't breed for it, or you didn't have to breed for it. He gave you the egg. He could have gave you a Pikachu egg, and it's a
You're making
Pokemon.
This shit up. You're making this
up. Listen, I'm just telling you what I've noticed throughout the years. I've studied Pokemon games for all of 20 minutes before this podcast, so like...
have you beat the DLC yet, sir? Sir?
Sir, I haven't even booted up the DLC.
Sir, you're missing out. I'm already done with it. I haven't touched it since.
Other cards that I think could be fun... is Aerodactyl, because it does the same thing everybody's scared of, but it does damage beforehand, so I think that would be much better than the de-evolution TM.
Yeah, and it's only a stage one, not a stage two, like Kabutops and Omastar.
Yeah, I think Matt actually mentioned it already. You could play it in Zoroark, and then...
he did.
Yeah.
And now you're stealing his thunder. How dare you?
Yeah. I told you, sometimes people that don't know shit come up with good ideas. That's Matt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's all we know about Mew. Mew's good.
That is like, I almost got in the car yesterday and drove down to PokéCollect to try and buy one Mew. That's like literally the only, like, if I could have one card out of the set, that's it.
I don't think they have 151 for sale singles yet because they're not taking them in yet. But I did buy one ETB, and the first pack that I opened, I pulled a gold Mew. So,
oh man, his ETB was cracked. Mine was dog water.
And they had extras of those binders that are in the. First of all, can we just talk about 151 for a second? The binder box is such a good deal. It's like $25. You get 4 packs. Four packs, right? And then you get a binder. So like the binder's like $5, but it's a good quality binder. It's just like any other Ultra Pro that you would buy or anything like that.
But does it have Ultra Pro stamped on it anywhere?
I don't know. It's good quality binder though for, you know, what it is. That's like the best deal I've seen from Pokemon in a good bit since the first Trainer Toolkit. Now the Trainer Toolkits are always like 3 sets behind, but the first Trainer Toolkit was a good buy. This is a good buy. But yeah, the ETB is, yeah, it's an ETB. The dice.
Also, can't forget it, because I know you're looking forward to it, the Alakazam EX.
Yeah.
Has huge potential with both Mimikyu and Klefki to just sit there and lock and stall and try to snipe from the bench.
But that may be the only standalone deck that comes out of 151.
The only problem with it is he's swinging for 120, and it's to the active. So, I mean, I foresee it being good against loss box, of course, and Maraidon, especially if you go first. But do other decks stand a chance against it? Because, like, Lugia, if you play the... like, you have several single prize attackers that's just hitting through. I'm not sure how it'll hold up long term.
Well, so the beauty of it, right, is it's on the bench. You could lock other things in the active. Its Mind Jack attack hits for pretty big for just being two energy too. Especially in this format where everything plays five Pokemon, right? So it's hitting for what? It's hitting for the amount on the
30 bench. 30 for each on the bench, and then
yeah, so 150, so 240 for two. I can see this going in like a control variant deck, like maybe with the Arbucks though, you know what I'm saying? Like you control their hand, you start, you know, just attacking them from the bench, or you just attack them from the bench a couple times, soften them up, then hit them with Mind Jack. You stick something that can't retreat in the active, you know, like there's plenty of stuff you can do, right? But just the fact that you could slow them down by playing Klefki and stuff like that and still hit from the bench is pretty big. You know, if you can't use Lugia's ability and you knock out the only Lugia with energy, that's pretty rough. You know, like, if you can't use Flaffy's ability, then Maraidon slows down, you know? If you hit it early enough and you can't use Lost Box, right? If you can't search, you know, what's it called? Where you
flower look at two cards.
Flower Selecting. If you can't use Confuse Flower Selecting, then it slows down Lost Box immensely, right? So it can be pretty good just because it does have that ability. But more importantly, it's Alakazam, and he looks awesome.
Well, another thing you could do with Alakazam is there's this... let me read it real quick before I start going on a soapbox about this card. It's Apalkia from Celebrations, I think it was.
Oh, when he's in play, they can't play a stadium?
Oh, never mind. I was going to say what you could do. I mean, actually, this would still work against Lugia. You could have this thing in the active. Like, you could trade out which, like, card you want in the active, right? Like, you could play, like, a couple copies of Palkia, a couple copies of Klefki, a couple copies of, like, Roadblock Snorlax, and what was the last one? Palkia's, Klefki's, Snorlax, and Mimikyu to safeguard Mimikyu. You could, like, play a few copies of these things, and, like, if you're up against Mew or Lugia, you could stick Palkia in the active and be like, yo, I played this Path to the Peak. What you doing, buddy? Because that's the cool thing about Alakazam is not only is it saying you can swing from the bench, it's an attack that says you can swing from the bench. So it's not like an ability telling you that you can use this attack on the bench. So you're not hurting Alakazam whatsoever. And so once you play Path, they have to bump it. And if you play Path early enough, and they can't find boss, they can't use Lugia's Tempest Dive attack or whatever the fuck to discard that stadium. So they have to play a copy of Lost Vacuum, which no lists do now. I'm sure lists will adapt, of course. Y'all stole all of my favorite cards from this set.
The Charmanders specifically make Charizard versus Lost Box winnable.
Swallowable.
Yeah.
It's an easier pill to swallow for sure.
You know what's fucked up though is I still have not given a game to Lost Box. Yet. I have not lost a game to Lost Box.
Yet.
I'm just saying, I played, you know, with this stupid Kirlia Charizard thing, I played, I think it's like 110 games between real life and online, and I haven't given up a set to Lost, or not a set, probably give up a set, but I haven't given up a game to Lost Box.
That's not bad. I haven't
every time it's been close. It's been close, but I haven't.
I have to try that list. I haven't tried it yet. Matter of fact, I haven't played any Pokemon. But, yeah, the two cards I'm most excited about that I want to get my hands on are Mew and Alakazam. Mew is just nasty. Like, in Lugia, specifically, just being able to accelerate it and, like, use their attacks is pretty good. And then, like, you could bot... Like, for example, I was in a situation last night because, like, I crafted one Mew and that was it. I threw it in Lugia and then I was like, we're chilling. And then, what was I saying? Yeah, but, like, for example, I had a board of, like, Mew as my only single prize or two prize Pokemon and a bunch of single prizers out. I bossed up a Lumineon and, like, Aqua returned to like, you know, fix my bench and then use it again later. You know, you could use, what's it called? Like, Lost Impact for 280. Like, you have a sweet two. You can use Charizard's attack in the late game to close out games. Like, it's your big, big damage buff, like, in certain matchups where you need it. I just
you could use Sableye's attack to kill Lost Box.
You cannot. You don't have.
If you have it in the Lost Zone, you could also use Giratina's attack if you have it in the Lost Zone. Just flip that V Star marker, take a knockout.
Not in Lugia.
Oh, do you think the?
Go ahead.
Do you think protective goggles will be worth throwing in Lugia? Oh, never mind. I'm just kidding. Because it's this basic Pokemon this card is attached to has no weakness. If it wasn't basic, then I think it might be worth throwing him Maridon, though.
Probably.
Since it's all basics. Except for Flaffy.
Yeah, you could. You could play it in, like, Maridon. Something like that. That wouldn't be bad. Like, Wideland, or not. Cards like this have seen play. What was it? It wasn't Wideland. It did... That did weakness to the bench, which is super good. There was a tool card like that.
I don't remember what it was called. I know what you're talking about, though.
Do you think playing four leftovers on a Revaroom EX would be sick?
No.
Healing 80 damage.
Yeah, you're still going to get knocked out.
Yeah.
And then all your four leftovers are gone, so you got to play those Snorlaxes to get them back. Which you could, but
Cycling Road Stadium wouldn't be a bad like stadium bump for like path and stuff like that.
Yeah, like if you already have a stadium spot that you're just throwing a random stadium in, Cycling Road's not bad.
Because I mean, you just discard a basic energy and draw a card. Like, you can't really beat that ever. You did mention Big Air Balloon. I think Big Air Balloon's pretty sweet. I hate that it's stage two. I wish it was like evolved Pokemon, but that might be too good right now, given free retreat to like stage one and stage two EXs would be pretty nasty.
Bill's transfer, I like.
Energy sticker sucks. We had that on Turbo Patch.
Yeah.
You know what's really unfortunate, because I would love to do it, is playing Chansey with Weezing. Because imagine flipping heads and then drawing Chansey off the prize card and using its ability to set it down and flipping another coin to draw another prize card.
Another EX card we haven't given some love to is Wigglytuff EX. Wigglytuff EX ability, expanding body. If this Pokemon has special energy attached to it, it gets 100 plus 100 HP. That's a 350 HP stage one.
There's nothing like getting knocked out by a path to the peak.
That is also that is also true.
Oh,
listen,
man.
That is
canceling cologne. Canceling cologne stocks going through the roof.
Yeah, that is also true as well.
I would like to put this out here. One of you guys out there is going to be extremely upset by some kid, and I specify kid, playing Kangaskhan EX, because he's just going to flip heads all day and do like 400 damage each time he attacks.
incessant punching. But it's a, yeah, it's a, honestly, like, as far as playability wise, it's a pretty good set. And some of the artwork too. Shout out to Switch getting another gold Switch card to lower them prices. That's pretty good. And also shout out to Kadabra, first English printing in like over 20 years.
I mean, it's about time, right? The guy that brought the lawsuit up already gave them permission like 3 years ago, you know, at the beginning of COVID. So whatever.
He was like, yo, just cut me one check, please.
I don't even think they cut him a check. I think he apologized and called it a day. Like, he's like, I fucked up, guys. My bad. I didn't mean to ruin your childhood.
What are your guys' thoughts on the new holo energies? They're extremely common.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool if you want your deck to be shiny. They already made like the same effort by making them available in like the prize packs, you know? Holo energies are becoming more common. They'll never be worth like what the gold ones are, but it's cool that they're shiny.
What kind of shiny holo is it? I haven't seen
it.
It just has like the little dots on it.
Wait, yeah. It's galaxy foil?
No, it's actually holo. It's just shiny. Like the whole thing is just shiny. It's just like the Play Pokemon version. Or the prize pack version.
So yeah, the galaxy or the cosmic foil.
Yeah, it's just like this.
Oh.
But this is they're not bad.
Okay. That's cool. I guess. Yeah. But
yeah.
So like what are some of y'all's favorite artworks from the set?
You wanna go first, Matt?
Yeah, you're the collector.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, first off, before I get into favorites, let me tell you, like, doing master sets is great and all, and it's usually fairly easy because you can just sort by typing, which then makes sleeving it up and organizing it really, really easy. This set is kind of a pain to put in a binder. Sorry, I got a dog making noise trying to keep him quiet. Because it doesn't go by that. It's by number, and that makes flipping through trying to organize it and everything a bigger pain. So I actually found myself using a little paper booklet in the ETB for the first time, which they also changed that. But artwork wise the Psyduck, I love him standing on the stairs holding his head, and then he has an attack that's overthink during your opponent's next turn whenever they flip a coin, treated as tails, and he's just standing there having a crisis, and I love it.
That sounds like me Friday night.
For real.
I mean, I don't know, this set's not like nearly as big as other sets, right? But I think this one has some great artworks. Like the Dragonair, I really like the Dragonair too. I wish they had put the full Dragonite line in there, but you know, it's okay. I also really like the Zapdos CX. I think it looks super sick. I would have loved for them to have done one for each of the birds and maybe it'd be one of those that like combine and shows like from different perspective. But then honestly, for the supporters, I really like Giovanni's charisma. You got the Master Ball in the background just chilling, you got the Persian asleep. Like, I don't know, this set has some good artworks to it.
Yeah, for sure. The only thing I think, like as far as artwork, and I'm kind of excited about it, is I'm not a fan of the Charizard art at all. and of course, that's the most expensive card in the set, which honestly at $95 is not bad. Like for a Charizard card right now, that's pretty good. I'm a big fan of the Alakazam EX art. I like that a lot. The Psyduck one is really good too. Oh, I like that you highlighted that one. And then, what are some other ones? The Dragonair does look good. I like the Ivysaur and Bulbasaurs. And I think Nidoking's not bad. I'm just like scrolling through this a little bit. Yo,
what? I mean, I like the Pikachu one too, just because of how it features, you know, a bunch of other Pokemon in the background. Like you see the Mr. Mime and the Blastoise with his back turned, and the Gengar in the lower corner, and a whole bunch of others. But like, I don't know. I understand it's the mascot, but
yo. But what about the Mr. Mime scheming in the park, bro?
I want you to know I pulled that. And I'm just like, sick.
See, my thing is like, people are going to get on this podcast and hear you bitch about how you have to, like, you can't organize it by typing. You have to organize it by Pokédex number. And they're going to be like, you're not a real fucking fan. You're supposed to know the 151 by heart. You should have just had it already put in place.
Dog, the only one I have memorized by heart is that Bellsprout is number 69, and he's looking like he's about to give the suck. Like, go look at it.
Said, welcome to the Floaty Cast.
Give the suck. Where is it? I gotta find it.
Oh, you looking for the soundboard? It's already too late, bro.
No, not the soundboard. Oh. I'm looking for the actual Bellsprout. Yo, head down and everything. He's like, the only thing funnier about this is if like some spit was, like some drool was coming.
All right. So, go wow. Ahead, Scott.
Uncommon opinion: Jinx should have been number 69.
You guys can't see it, but I'm giving Matt the death stare, the disappointed dad stare. But okay, so my favorite arts, I'm gonna disagree with Maxo. I actually really like the Charizard, but only because the Charmander and Charmeleon build up to it, just like the rest of the starters. That's so fair. Like he starts really low as Charmander. He's looking up to the Charmeleon, who's looking down at the Charmander, and then Charizard's flying above them both. I really like the Blastoise line too, just because they build up from each other. My two favorite arts though are the Poliwhirl, because of the cool art where he's looking at the reflection of himself in the rain. That's super dope. He's like on a city street. Looking like Tokyo, probably. And then Omanyte, because it shows like camouflage, because his body's the same color as the water, right? So when I first looked at it, I thought it was just like the Helix fossil floating in the water, and then the Omanyte was in the background. And then when I had to blow up the card to actually see the Omanyte, so I thought that was really cool, because that would be like his mode of defense, right? Giovanni's Charisma, both of the full art and the alt art are awesome. Like it gives Giovanni such a menacing look, which is something I feel like they haven't given to him in a while. He's supposed to be this evil like mob lord, and he's looked like, you know, somebody that's about to, you know, invest for you on Wall Street for too long. So
he looks like a crypto bro. The fuck?
Yeah, exactly. So now they finally gave him the look that he deserves. So I appreciate that.
Giovanni's wanted by authorities, but you can catch him just sitting in his gym.
Yo, the feds are after him, and he's just fucking chilling.
The other cool thing about Giovanni, though, and this is, you know, whatever. So he's the only supporter that I know of that they show him holding the Pokeball upside down, which is like he's evil, right? He does everything backwards. So now his Pokeball is upside down. He owns a Master Ball, which obviously, you know, isn't like it's a special ball, but it's just sitting on his fucking bedside table. Like this is not a problem. Like I probably got a couple of these, and he's. He's modeled after an Italian, and he's drinking espresso, bro. Like, let's go. They got everything in this art.
The fact he's in a penthouse suite right now in this art, too.
And there's no white pieces on the chessboard.
Oh, there isn't. Wow, that's a good. Also, the man's an alcoholic. You see the reflection of his liquor cabinet?
I was just looking at
Holy shit, bro. This guy drinks more than I do, and that's tough.
Yo, does it look like the buildings, like, out of the window are on fire?
I think that's just... No, that's the reflection of his wall light. He's got one of those lights that's like the theater.
No, look at the little blue specks to the right of it, and then the red ones, like, on the bottom left of it.
Oh, no, that's just the same city that Polyworld's in, bro. That's fine. That's just Tokyo's that's just, lighting or Kanto's lighting, yeah.
That's just Detroit.
Yeah. Or the ruins of Detroit.
Giovanni is also by far, I think, the best boss's orders.
Yeah. If you're not playing Giovanni's boss, I mean, I wouldn't say you're wrong. There's a couple other good ones, but...
I think you guys are ridiculous. Definitely Cyrus boss's order is the best boss's orders we have to date. So I don't even want to hear that slander about Giovanni's is the best one. It's not. I'm sorry. Like, it's overplayed, overhyped, overworked. And
Dog, my man is wearing $400 Louis shoes, all right? Get the fuck out of here.
I don't give a fuck, bro. Cyrus is
this
here.
This man is wearing... a custom-fitted, tailored suit to him, and just letting a cat lay all over him because money is no object.
Yeah, when he's sitting on dirty money, of course money's no object.
Yo, you think the man could have afforded a better couch than the one from the thrift store, though? Like, that looks like my grandma's couch.
That's fair, bro. 1970s want their style back, bro. Buddy should have had a modernized house, bro. Have you seen what those look like? The all-white finish? You know, where the...
Nah. That penthouse is built in a historic building he can't modify, bro. What the fuck are you talking about?
That's fair. My man is, like, literally in the streets of Las Vegas right now, just fucking gambling his life away. Running underground Pokemon battles because it's illegal.
Dog, real quick, though. If anybody knows who Giovanni's barber is, I'm trying to get an edge like that.
Yeah, oh God, bro. I'm trying to get that hairline.
I will say, though, the thing that looks odd, though, right, is in the Illustrator rare, his head. It looks like a Lego man or something.
That's because he's got the chiseled chin, bro.
Compared to the full art, like, it just looks a little off. But it still looks sick. And the full art looks sick. I love the red glow around the buildings and coming off of him as well. Like,
so, is Giovanni's hair slicked back? Or
I would say
faded?
So, yes.
Because in the full art, it looks slicked back. But in the Illustrator art, it looks faded.
Maybe he got a haircut in between the two.
Buddy. Money is not an option. He grows hair at will. Like, I'm not sure. It does look faded in the alt art and then, like, slick back in that one.
So let us know in the comments, guys. Like, just comment on all your favorite platforms. Let's start a poll. You know, I'll start a poll on Twitter, too. Is Giovanni's hair slick back or faded? We'll find out.
Next time on Dragon Ball Z. I don't know. It is a dope card. I mean, the alt art is a whole vibe for sure. But,
I do have to mention this. It's not one of the alt arts or any, I mean, I guess it kind of is, but the Mewtwo promo, it gives off like the Noivern, secret full art from, Evolving Skies where it's in the Dark City. The Mewtwo promo where he's just floating above this city looks absolutely incredible.
Mewtwo promo? I think I've seen that. Yeah. It gives off I own this shit vibes for sure.
So is it confirmed that Noivern is Batman and Mewtwo is Joker then?
I wouldn't say Joker. Maybe more like Bane.
You can't be Bane. Bane would be like Machamp, bro. Bane's just the guy on steroids.
Maybe the Riddler.
Riddler, yeah. I think Mewtwo would be Riddler. Yeah.
And Noivern's, yeah, of course Noivern's Batman. Yeah, that art is sick. The promo art that's coming in, what, the Ultra Premium Collection with the alt art Mew? That's so cute.
I feel like the alt art Mew is a little lackluster.
Mews like are always lackluster, bro.
It Maybe doesn't you're... look like an EX card. It just looks like some sort of basic promo going to have, you know, 40 HP and say something like, I'm Mew. For one energy, I'm going to do 400 damage and have free retreat. You're going to like it.
No, like, I am a firm believer that it's the longest running inside TCG or Pokemon TCG joke that all the Mew cards just have to look the same.
Bro, they, on like, God, like the full art Mew looks like the full art Mew just with the pink background as the same one as full Mew V.
Yeah, it's honestly, I think that Mew, if it doesn't have anything else going in it, Mew just looks like Mew. And the alt art is just, let's take the same picture of Mew, put him in a different spot and draw something behind him. Like,
let's rotate him 45 degrees.
Yeah, like, I understand that he's not that complicated of a drawing, but he's got more action poses than circle. Like, the dude's a fucking ferret that floats, apparently, because he's always just curling up in a circle, chilling, like, he's, I don't know, Mew's my least favorite art all the time. Like, I mean, from now on.
The gold Mew EX is just the Celebrations Mew, non-shiny.
With yeah, bro, on God, holy shit.
Like, I saw it, and I was just like, did they just reuse this image?
They just, like, changed the hue of Mew and then just made it Mew 2.
Yeah, that's... Get oh, it? My Mew God. Mew? I fucking hate you. Like, the thing about it is, like, at least when me and Matt tell dad jokes, they're funny.
And I'm not even a dad.
No, you're not. You give off dad vibes, though.
Yeah, you do. I don't know why you don't have kids yet.
Excuse me, it's daddy vibes, all right?
No. No. No, it's not. I'm here to tell you it's not.
You give off father vibes. Father.
Might be even like religious father vibes. I don't know. They're very similar.
So, to answer the question, is this set worth it?
Yeah, I think it's worth it. It's fun to collect. It's got playable cards in it. You're not going to be able to build a new groundbreaking deck out of it, but it'll help the decks you already play. Unless you're playing Lugia, then there's nothing in here for you other than the Mew. I guess so, yeah. Everything, yeah, you could find something to help your deck in this set.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's groundbreaking, but you could build the Alakazam set.
Yeah, that's not groundbreaking. It'd be fun. Somebody will break it. Xander. Xander will break it.
Yeah.
Pretty that's, sure. ETCGL broke it. Because I think there was a point where Alakazam was broken on there.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, that's because ETCGL, that's just broken in general, right? Like,
that's not. So, I have to ask, just early thoughts, early quick, you know, hot takes. What decks come out on top with this set?
Oddish.
Not yet. Next set for sure.
It's not world's time yet. I don't know. I think Charizard gets better. I don't think it's better enough to warrant it one of the top spots. Everything gets a little better with Mew. So, I guess it depends on what deck Mew fixes the bad matchups for enough, right? That'd probably be the top one. Yeah, that's hard to say. I think the meta doesn't change too much. I think that it just shifts a little. The decks that are on top right now stay on top, and I think they just change a little to adapt to the new cards.
Zapdos to Maridon, Mew and almost everything. Does Mew give Guardi an even bigger boost?
No. I think Mew and Guardi is just a tech card, not a staple.
Yeah, I think you put it in to fight against Lost Box, right? Because then you just Greninja their card so they can't get there fast.
Yeah. And it
I think that's all it does. But Guardy didn't really have a problem with Lost Box, did it?
I mean, it wasn't great. But it wasn't like you could win it. Like, it was a winnable matchup, but it wasn't like it wasn't great. It doesn't completely alter the deck. I think Matt's right on this one. Zapdos EX is probably the biggest buff to a deck out of all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, having
I think so.
Bench Snipe in the deck and a pivot Pokemon, that's pretty good.
Yeah, just it being a pivot Pokemon with a decent, it doesn't matter what the attack is, just a pivot Pokemon with a decent attack is a good enough buff, and the fact that it hits the bench is even better.
Yeah, for sure.
It would have been a huge boost without the bench Snipe, right? But now, that's just that much better. So, yeah, Maridon gets better. I think... I don't know. I think Lugia is about to take a backseat. If it hasn't already, right? A lot of people are still playing it, but it already struggles with Maridon if Maridon gets there. And with a free pivot Pokemon, you can't even trap him for a little bit. So, yeah, I think Lugia steps down a little bit. Maridon gets that much better. Lost Box may actually struggle more than it has been just because everybody can copy the Greninja unless you just don't play the Greninja down.
Bro, Lost Box can play Mew.
That's fine, but it still doesn't help you get your confies back, you know?
Yes, it does. There's an attack somewhere that says shuffle all four of your confies and back into the deck and then put them all back on your bench. I know it. I've read it.
Yeah, you've read it. That must have been back in 1962 when you started playing the Pokemon TCG.
I'm sleeving up Kangaskhan Blunder Policy.
No, I'm telling you.
That's my draw support right there.
Some little kid is going to wreck somebody with Kangaskhan EX, bro.
Oh, my God. I don't know. But I think I agree with you guys. Maridon gets the biggest buff. Charizard right behind it, honestly. Like, having a
I don't think it's enough to make Charizard great.
But, I mean, still hitting 330, like, turn two, maybe.
Yeah.
If you get the pieces, but I mean,
oh, that Charizard, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, I still don't think it makes it great, but I think, you know, having that option, because that's what Charizard struggles with the most, is it feels really bad to not be able to knock out a Genesect.
Yeah.
I was turn two against Mew not being able to knock out a Genesect, and I was like, this is fucking stupid.
You have to knock out the Mew V.
Well, yeah, I did that.
No, you one-shot me VMAX. What the fuck am I saying?
Yeah, but like, so it was turn one, or turn two, right? My first attacking turn. I evolved in the Charizard, bossed up his Mew V, knocked it out. He didn't have another Mew V. He was struggling, right? He drew, couldn't get another Mew V down. And so my response was to do 180 to a fucking Genesect.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
You know, I was sitting here scrolling through, looking at the arts of the cards and whatnot. Go look at the Poliwhirl. I love how adorable it is. Just the normal one, his little hands up in the air, and he's like, "Go ahead and buckle me in, Mom." Just so ready to go.
Oh, the regular Poliwhirl. Yeah. Scott was over here like, "Bitch." I was talking.
Oh yeah,
about
I was about to drive to your house and slap you.
Yeah, the regular Poliwhirl is cute. He looks like my son right now.
Shout out, Levi.
Yeah.
No. The other.
No, the other one. No, the other one. Jesus Christ, how many kids you have? Don't worry about it.
You do be having a lot of kids now, bro.
Bro, chill, bro.
Chill. You almost got a full line, bro.
I do have a full line if you include me and my girlfriend.
That... okay.
And other Pokemon TCG money news. Pokemon TCG Classic has been revealed on a website, on the Pokemon Center website. $400.
It's a master set though, right? You've spent $400, you get the whole
You get the whole thing. Like, you get three decks, and then you get the board, the fancy board and the little roller thing, and then like the cool damage counters and stuff like that. It's all in one case, and it's $400. Matt, is that too expensive, or are you going to get it?
I mean, that's kind of pricey. I don't mind buying cards to play with, and I don't mind doing master sets, but I don't know if I'm going to get it for $400.
I feel that. Well, also, you can't, because it's already sold out. So I don't know what's more like surprising. Is that the high price tag or the fact that it's already sold out?
Nostalgia is nostalgia. Like, the fact that the cards are selling so well right now is basically based on nostalgia and everybody getting back into collecting like they used to as a kid, or starting back up when during COVID or whatever, right? So this is the perfect time. Before that dies off, this is the perfect time for Pokemon to put this out. And they could have been $800 and it probably would have sold out, right? The only thing it's going to do is make it more valuable on the secondhand market to collectors, you know? So they all bought it for $400. People that really want it that missed it are going to buy it for $6, you know? Like, I'm not upset about it.
That's part of the problem with it, though. So we ran into that Friday. We ended up going to Walmart after I got home. And Haley was wanting to, like, pick up some stuff, and then we had stopped and looked, and they had 151, and so we picked up a booster bundle, because she's like, oh, there's a new set, I want to rip some packs, and I was like, okay, cool. So we grabbed the last one, and this is at like 10 o'clock at night, and this dude comes walking up and was like, oh, you bought the last one, or you guys have the last one. It's like, yeah. And he's like, well, I don't want to buy, you know, one of those boxes, because they're more expensive. And then he started like talking to us about like collecting and whatnot, and it's like, okay, cool, like, you know, I'll always spare a minute to talk about it, sure. But he wasn't collecting from the collector's standpoint. He was just straight up a hoarder of it, and he's like, well, I guess I need to go and pick up some booster boxes of this. And I'm like, I don't think there's gonna be booster boxes, it's a special set. And he's like, well, you know, I'm waiting for those to come out, and I'm gonna do all this, and starts talking about how he has closets and bedrooms full of like sealed cases and of different booster boxes and ETBs and stuff. And it's just like, that's cool. And I'm like, so how long have you been playing? He's like, oh, I don't play. It's like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I tell him I like to do master sets, 'cause I like to actually see the card, you know, ripping product is fun, but I'll buy singles and whatnot. And he's just like, oh no, I don't do that. He's like, I just have a sealed collection. It's like, you don't have a sealed collection. You're just hoarding. Based on the fact that, like, hoarding now is not nearly the same thing as what people in early 2000s did, right? Because back then, people weren't looking at getting cards graded so often, or being like, oh man, this is going to take off and shoot through the roof in prices. I don't think newer sets are going to do that. Are they going to go up in value? Yes. But, like, I don't know. It just kind of irritates me whenever people show up and buy out store stocks and don't leave some for everybody else. For all the kids and people who like to rip and have fun with it. So, that being $400, like, okay, fine. But I hope that they kind of do what they did with the Charizard UPCs, where they just made so many of them that even all the hoarders just got stuck holding them, and everybody had the opportunity to get one that wanted it. Because at the end of the day, this is a hobby. Like, that's what it is.
Well, this one's a little bit different, though, because they're not playable cards. You can't play these in standard, right? So,
right, but it's not meant to be played in standard. It's meant to
kind of have that nostalgia. You play your own game, like,
with other people.
Yeah, but to me, that is the hoarder's special. You know what I'm saying? They made something super overpriced for people to buy to sit on a shelf not opened. Right, like, yeah, other companies have done that.
I agree with Scott on this one. This is specifically for the collectors. It has no competitive edge to it. Now, I mean, that being said, you could open the thing and like play your competitive playable cards on the board and like use all the stuff, and you could play fun games like different kind of formats with the cards that you have in hand. But for the most part, like, unless you're me, when tax refund comes and you buy this thing and then you take the board to Poke Collect and then that's your play mat. Like, I'm not doing that. That was a joke. But, I mean, I also see what you're saying, too. And, like, that was one of the first things I was looking at, like, as far as hoarding and prices and stuff. On TCG Player, none of this stuff is bad, like, price-wise at all. Like, Elite Trainer Box is $50. Like, that's how much it is. Like, everything looks like it's mostly MSRP value, and that's pretty good. I mean, Pokemon is known for printing shit, like, out the wazoo. They just overprint everything. Disney Lorcana needs to get on that soon, because fuck that.
I don't think Disney Lorcana has the... I don't think they knew the response they were going to have, so they didn't prep for it. But their printer, I don't think they have the... Like, Pokemon has two, right? I think Pokemon has two locations that print now at massive levels. I don't think Disney has access to that yet, so...
Yeah. Nah, Disney ran out of ink.
Because all your cards are... They need more people to play to build more ink, bro. That's
that's the game. Hey, you know what? That could be a marketing standpoint, too. Guys, we've run out of ink. You need to play more. Send us your ink. I don't think I'll ever get that thing unless it, like, falls in my lap. But it is cool. And if you get it, let us know how it is, because it looks cool. Raging Surf Secret Rares have come out as well. I don't know if you guys want to touch on these much
as
well.
They're Secret Rares. The Golden Go looks dope. The Frostlass and Hoopa can suck something, because I'll never be able to tell which is which.
That's fair.
The Evil Tall, as always, is the best looking card.
Facts.
I don't know. Groudon looks pretty fucking dope, but yeah, I like him.
The Tapu Koko? I like that one.
It's got a cool background. I don't think the card would look better without Tapu Koko in it.
It's just a clean
gold beach court and gold reversal coming.
I don't care.
I mean, that's cool. If you're into that,
I also like the Cyclozars just all sitting in a parking lot chilling.
I wish they were on like a starting line of a racetrack.
That's what I thought it was, like, looking at the small image until I clicked on it, because I could see them all lined up.
But they're secret rares.
I do love the Mantyk and the Joltik, though. I think those are great. Do you think that guy in the submarine for the Mantyk one is a billionaire?
Stop.
Stop. Well, you know, I don't see a gaming controller, so I think you're safe.
No, I got one right here. They could use this one.
You know what? Maybe he forgot it. Maybe that was what actually happened. They just forgot the controller.
Stop.
I mean, he's got a full-on couch in the background. Like, they're just chilling.
Hey, man, that's luxury submarining at its finest. Can't find that anywhere in the world. God, bro.
Actually, I know a seafloor. You could probably find it once.
Hey, I know where you could go submarining for free. The Navy.
Not if you're me, dog. Too tall.
Well.
Ah, oh, man.
You know what's great about submarines?
What?
They're long, hard, and full of semen.
Like, I understand we cater to an older audience, Matt, but...
Oh, he can cut that out.
I'm not. I'm keeping that one. I'll let you know when you go too far, buddy. I'll let you know. That's got to stay. All right. So that's about it as far as Pokemon news goes. Like I said, shout out to Matt and Scott for carrying the show, because your boy was out of the loop for a week.
You know what's funny is we still made you make the show notes, though. Like, we could have gotten together and made them because we've been paying attention, but I'm like, you know what? No.
You know what? Yesterday I was thinking about it. I was like, I got to make the show notes. I wonder if Matt and Scott are going to like... Actually, Matt was pitching in. Actually, he made the show notes.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I was just like... Because I was planning on waking up early and like sitting down, and I figured you'd be on and we can call and talk about the show notes like we did last week. But it was like right before I texted you or something, and I was like, show notes, because I had just woken up and I'm like, I'm not doing this shit. I need coffee. I need to find clothes. Like, I need to take my medicine. I was hurting this morning, boys. My knees are the size of watermelons.
I feel
knees are weak. His arms were heavy.
He's vomiting on his
mom's spaghetti.
Are you nervous?
On the surface, I look calm and ready.
So we're dropping bombs, buddy. Don't forget what you wrote down.
I keep on forgetting. Anyhow.
Speaking of music, I have to talk about this.
Before you go on a tangent, let me get my Tales from the Card Shop out of the way.
That's right.
Because you're going to be on this for a while. All right, so Tales from the Card Shop comes from a long time ago, and it actually comes from my wife from the card shop that she used to manage. All right, reminded me of this. Yeah, she reminded me of this, and I thought I would bring it up because I want your guys' opinion on it. So she manages Card Shop, and it's also a cafe, so there's food and stuff like that, right?
You already know my stance.
She used to have parents come on Thursdays, which is when they had Pokemon. And the parents would drop off the children for Pokemon. And now we're not talking about like teenage ages. We're talking at the time they were like 8 to 11. She would drop off the kids with some money, put it into their account so they can get food and buy cards or whatever, and then just leave. Now, this wasn't an agreement between the store. This is, you know, there's nothing that the store doesn't agree to watch children or anything like that. As a matter of fact, there's a sign on the door that says all children must be accompanied. But the parents would just leave. And we're not talking about one or two. We're talking about, you know, four or five children. Like, basically all the juniors at Pokemon would be dropped off by their parents, and their parents would leave. And so because my wife is nice, responsible, and cares for children, she would keep an eye on them, but she still had a job to do, right? But at the end of the day, if something were to happen to those kids, obviously she's not responsible, right? So as a parent, Maxlow, first of all, would you ever do that? And second, do you think it's even remotely right? And third, what do you think should have happened with the game store to make that happen? Like, to make sure that didn't happen?
First and foremost, do you want the short answer or the long answer? It sounds like you want the long answer.
I mean, just go about it. All because right. I got my own views on it, and I don't like it. Like,
first and foremost, absolutely not. Like, my oldest is 13, and I still won't let him go places by himself. Like, let's start there. No, you are not dropping your fucking kids. I don't care if it's damn Chuck E. Cheese. You're borderline a daycare nowadays, buddy. Like... You are not dropping your kids off at any public place by yourself. So fucking shame on the authorities should have been called, period. We'll just start there. As far as you said, the game store said that, what was the second question first before I get into the game store?
Just like, what are your overall viewpoints on it? You know, like,
well, that,
yeah.
If I was there at that store, I would have said something to the parents. Like, and I'm just a, you know, a customer. Like, it's illegal to do that. And you said the store, like, put up signs saying that all children must be accompanied by parents.
Yeah.
I mean, the store is not a daycare. They should have, like, been louder about it. Like,
yeah,
I like parents like bring their kids to tournaments, like, you know, 11, 12, 13 year olds to tournaments and then, you know, bounce like when they're with their friends. And by bounce, I mean, they're not far away.
Right.
Like they're at the coffee shop next door or they're somewhere where they can keep an eye on them. But to just fucking leave, like you getting a free daycare service. Yeah. Like the authorities should have been called, period. Like, I'm sorry. Like you do not do that. I don't know. Is that
Yo,
a little
shout
harsh?
Out to the number one polka dad that shows up on Fridays with his son and plays with him and just introduces himself as the polka dad. He's there to play and have fun, but you know, he carries his son to everything and is there with him all the time.
Yeah, that's what being a polka dad is about. That is my future. I can't wait till my son actually starts playing. My son Thomas is who I'm talking about. Because I already feel like going to regionals and just playing for the fuck of it and not even caring. Like, to have an excuse to do that is going to be amazing, you know?
Exactly. Like,
a good friend of the podcast, Ryan, actually took up judging just so he can go and not play at regionals. So his son could play. So, good on you, Ryan.
I have a hard time with dad. Like at regional events. Like if say my kids want to play, like I would not play, like because I would have to keep an eye on them. Like I feel like that there's way too many people there.
I mean, I think Levi would be fine, right? But
yeah, Levi. But the other three.
Oh no, yeah, the other. That's what I'm saying. If Thomas was playing. And Heather wasn't there, I wouldn't play. I'd be at the end of every one of the tables watching him, you know, comforting him when he lost, congratulating him when he won.
I can guarantee you right now that if your newborn son were to be playing, he'd get judge called for slow play. Right now.
Right now?
Shut up, right Matt. Now. Matt's just mad because Sergey is already a better Pokemon player than he is.
My mans wouldn't even be able to shuffle the deck, bro. His opponent would be waiting.
Still shuffles better than me. Like, what do you mean? Have you ever seen me shuffle? It's atrocious.
I've seen your cards, buddy.
None of my cards are marked because they're all bent.
But yeah, I have the same viewpoint. I didn't realize that was what was going on when I was just a regular attendant there until much later. But yeah, so basically, you know, those parents got a free daycare for 4 hours every Thursday because my wife is a saint. But yeah, that's.
But see, like, if I were to do that, like, when she's working, that's okay because, like, it's Heather.
Well, that's different. Yeah, like if you knew her, you know, that's the thing is none of the parents knew her. Yeah, none of the parents knew her or anything. You know, it'd be different. But on the same token, though, I was kind of adding to the problem, and I didn't realize it. Now, I wouldn't say like any of the juniors or anything, but a couple of the seniors and stuff, parents like asked me eventually to just take them home. And I didn't mind, you know what I'm saying? No problem. If they just asked me, it'd be different, but their parents asked me, you know? So I was like giving some of the seniors rides back and forth.
That's okay though. Like you had the blessing of the parents and they trust you.
Yeah.
I don't think as a parent, if I didn't know you, I would be asking you to do that. I know getting into what I'm going to talk about later, may have asked some people who had no idea who my son was to take him to this event, but it was more of a joke than it was I was going to actually allow it.
Yeah.
But, like, see, that's different. Like, you have an agreement with the parents, and they're counting on you to make sure you deliver, and you always do. So I would not have asked you. I know when Heather just stole my children, like, out of the blue, but I trusted you guys. Like, I may not have known her as well if I knew you at the time, but through my trust with you, I trusted her.
Yeah. And,
but leaving your kids unattended at any place is fucking... God forbid something happens to them.
Yeah. God, yeah, 100%. I like God looking back on it. We were just talking about it last night. Looking back on it, I'm like, holy, it's amazing that somebody didn't call it in and get that place shut. Because, like, I mean, it's got to be illegal for the store to do that, right? Like, there's got to be legal action somewhere. I don't know.
I think, like, if you look at it in a way, is say Joe Schmuckatelli shows up, right? And he's like, hey, the kids are with me, and the store doesn't stop them. There might be some repercussions there. I'm not honestly sure. But, like, situations like that, for example, like you're dropping your kids off at a store. You don't know who's working there, right? Like, you're just assuming. And, like, sometimes the store owners doesn't see who the kids came in with, right? Because there's so many people that they got to watch out. Property, customers, paying customers, orders, things like that. And, like, some dude, random dude or girl, we don't gender discriminate on who would kidnap children, could come up and be like, hey, they're with me. Or what if there was a custody battle going between the mom and the dad or something? And, like, the mom doesn't have custody, right? And she's like, I'm their mother. She legally cannot have those children, but she took them.
Yeah.
And...
I don't know.
Like, there's so many reasons why that's so sketch to do that. And I would never, ever, like, if I was working at the store, I'd have been like, you got to be here with your children or they can't be here.
Yeah.
And if I was a parent, I wouldn't have left. And if I
would you say that if you were a parent of one of those children, it's apparent what you would do?
Yes.
You know, I had that one sitting there and I was waiting for a time to just say it. I was just going to be like, you know, English is hard, and that is wrong, but it's apparent. And maybe that's where their confusion is. But also, like, you know, it's Pokemon. I'm not sticking up for these parents, but the whole point of Pokemon was they sent a 10-year-old out on his own.
Unfortunately, so, that
maybe
was
it's
a script.
Just time to grow up.
Also,
they didn't implement all the legal issues of that when they created.
Also, they sent the 10-year-old on his own with animal that could literally fry anyone that attacks him to death. So,
yeah, you pull a gun out, bro, you're getting roasted. Like, God, that makes me sick to think that people do that. Honestly. God,
just don't do that, guys. If you're a pokey parent, you're probably not listening to this podcast. But if you happen to try to see what your kids are into, don't do that. Just learn to play. It's not that bad. It's fun. You'll get into it. Plenty of pokey dads do it.
And pokey moms.
Pokey aunts and uncles, like pokey grown-ups all the time. Learn to do it, and it's a lot of fun. It's something you can do with your children, and it doesn't take that much effort. You know, like, you don't got to be the best player for them to enjoy playing with you.
And honestly, I will say this: if you are a new player and you're not doing well, that's perfectly fine, because I think most nights I have more fun at the bottom tables. Like, I have more laughs and giggles and joking around and playing and having a good time, because you already know you're not doing well, so you don't have to be, like, hyper-focused on something, and you're just there with the other people that are there having fun.
Yeah, that sounds like great advice coming from someone who never wins.
That's one.
What are you talking about? I have the playmat with the date.
Great.
Let's go ahead and hang that up in the Hall of Fame.
I love you, Matt. You might be a better player than me now. I'm not going to lie to you.
Definitely,
I have no clue what I'm doing. I just look at pictures and play cards. I don't even read them.
So does my wife, but she has more League Cup wins than I do. So think about that for a second.
That's the beauty of Pokemon, man. Variant. But nah, it's just... I just watching your kids have fun, like, that's fun. That's I don't understand. Like, I never mind. I could rant about this all day. Another thing I can rant about all day. I will see you two later. I have the floor now. So Friday night, if anybody knows the backstory of how this all went down, it was a tough one. Back in July, back on my son's birthday, I bought him tickets to see Avenged Sevenfold. And the ones I got were in Michigan, so we drove up all the way to Michigan to go to this concert. And it gets canceled because lightning strikes and an outdoor event is not good. And the reason I picked Michigan was two reasons. One, to see my family up there. And two is because the show in Nashville was 4 days before the due date of my newborn son. Well, he came 4 days earlier than the concert, so technically like 8 days before his due date. And I scrambled. I asked literally anybody to go in my stead just to get him to this damn show and just get it over with. And I had no takers.
Well, to be fair, everybody, I was going to do it, but hate every second of it. I don't like shows anymore. I don't like concerts, and I definitely don't like Revenge Bifold. So,
Avenged Sevenfold. So, ultimately, because my son was healthy, no issues, we were back home, and I had nobody to take him to this concert, I winded up getting the opportunity to take him, and I'm very blessed and thankful that I got to. Now, the reason I'm bringing all of this up is because of what happened at the concert. Nothing bad. It was an incredible event. Like, the performances were great. But I learned something about myself, and I learned something about the times. And that's why this is very important for me to talk about it. While I was there, I realized that I did not have the physical prowess to really just throw it down at a concert, and caught myself halfway through their set sitting down. First and foremost, I don't sit down at concerts, or I used to not. I used to be in the pit. We were not in the pit for this. Be in the pit and standing for 6 hours waiting for, you know, the main event to happen. I was sitting down. I was tired. And I looked around and, like, soaked in the sights, and so was everyone else. And and I was like, what the fuck? And something we talked about at PokeCollect one day, no free ads, but, like, Scott brought it up. He was like, yo, you do realize this band plays on the classic rock station now, right? Like everybody's getting old. And I'm like, it's not that bad. You know, they tear the house down every time they show up. Like, it gets fucking crazy there. And then it was like, on top of the fact that I noticed that everybody else was sitting down, like, they were still jamming and singing to the song, but they were not moving. And the lead singer, M. Shadows, was his speeches he would give in between songs was about, like, time and, like, relishing the opportunities you get every day and, you know, existentialisms. The whole new album was about that. And it fucking just hit me like a ton of bricks, bro. I was like, oh my God. And, like, I had a crisis at the concert. I'm not going to lie to you. I was losing my shit. And I'm bringing it up because, like, this was a perfect episode, too, because we're talking about 151, right? Why does Pokemon release these things? Nostalgia. Like, it's, you know, I went to see Avenged Sevenfold because I'm taking my son to see my childhood, essentially. Like, I grew up with these guys, and it's like, you spend every day, like, focused on minute things, like, oh, I got to get this shit done for this. Oh, I got to do this. Like, you go to work every day and you do all these things. Like, you keep pushing forward. You're thinking about what's happening in 5 years. You're thinking about, like, oh, I got to do all these things. And it's just like, sometimes you do have to just sit back and just fucking reel it in. Like, I have a fourth kid now. My son's a teenager. My oldest is a teenager. My daughter, who I feel like it was yesterday she was born, she's already 5 years old. And, like, if you don't fucking just sit back and just, like, take a deep breath and soak everything in, like, you're going to miss a lot. I've really felt that yesterday, Friday, and it just fucking threw me in a goddamn whirlwind, and I had to bring it up. I don't know. Am I crazy?
No, no. I feel, you know, I feel that. I feel like it's the same thing. So my dad took me to see, I think it was either ZZ Top or ZZ Top cover band when I was like young. And I thought it was like all these old guys watching the show, but like that's the same thing as us taking our kids to a concert now, right? One of my favorite bands, The Descendants, had to cancel the show recently because the lead singer had a heart attack. Like, and it's not like he's a young guy having a heart attack. He's of the heart attack range to be having a heart attack, right?
Yeah.
And like, that's scary because it's the same thing. Like, you got to enjoy, you know, all the moments, right? Actually, like, I was talking to Heather about this. She asked me why I got so deep into fishing and stuff over COVID and things like that. Well, COVID put a lot of things into perspective for me about how we need to enjoy things and stuff. But now, a big part of why I got into fishing is because my son asked me to go, and I was never really into fishing. But now I'm like, oh, my whole life now is creating the same memories that my dad did for me, for him, right? So that's become the new memories now, is the memories that you make for your kids, right?
Yeah, for sure. And then that was another thing, like in the hospital, I like made a comment to my girlfriend. I was like, what if he grows up and he's this, or what if he does this? And she's like, why do you have to keep talking about like soak it in now, like soak in.
Yeah.
You have a newborn, like enjoy it. And it's like, I've been going through a lot this last week, and that was like at that concert, that was a nail in the coffin. Just like seeing the fact that me and Levi can sit down and enjoy the show, the performance, and there's not a million people in front of us standing up where you can't see anything. It was just like, holy shit. And everybody's balding and old, and I'm like, fuck, dude. Like, what the hell?
So basically what you're saying is Steve Miller nailed it on the head when he said that time keeps on slipping into the future.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
You know what this means? You got to fly like an eagle.
Oh, my God.
Electric.
Who invited this kid? Get him off.
He's my hype man, bro. All
right, that's it. First event, you're wearing a giant clock, Flava Flav.
A giant clock?
Yeah, you're wearing a giant clock.
Yo, I am down, because then I'll be like, you ready to catch these hands?
Flavor Flav. Yeah.
You can get it, Scott, because there's hands on a clock.
Yeah, I got it. We're also going to give you a giant ladle. That way, every time you think you lost, you can scoop it up.
I'm gonna deduct points from that because you said label and then ladle.
Yeah.
If you'd have just said an ice cream scooper, we would have been fine.
Yeah. I just, you know.
It's all right. You'll do better, buddy.
Yo, I'll wear a name tag that says Owen.
Koala T.
Yeah. What? Because you're going to go 0-3? Yeah, got it. Yeah.
We're going to do it. We're going to go all out. All
right. I think that's a good point to say goodbye. I'm going to get ready for the cup.
It's a good time to end this. Yeah, Scott's got a cup to go to. But yeah, that's what I wanted to leave you guys with, that little tidbit. I'm doing okay, I promise. God damn it, that song's fucking 30 years old. No, almost 20 years old. I'm Not Okay, what? I Promise, by My Chemical Romance.
Oh, yeah. I was actually, when you said that, I was about to start singing that.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous, dude.
Well, I was just going to say, if you wanted honesty, that's all you had to say. Leave it at that.
Is this your outro to announce your retirement from Pokemon as well?
No. You're never too old for Pokemon.
Yeah, What the fuck? I'm just taking a tea break. And by tea break, I mean...
A koala tea break?
Yeah. They don't know that back there in the back room, but I'm coming back next week, all right? No, I'm just playing. All right, that being said, Scott, where can they find us?
All right, so they could find me at FlowTK1. They could find Steven, a.k.a. Maxlow, at Maxlow FTK. And they could find Matt down here. The dark alley selling hollow energies to the highest bidder.
Yeah. Hoarding 151 master sets regularly and bitching about how it's not by typing and by their actual Pokédex number. There are people out there who actually sort their binders by Pokédex number, sir. So this appeals to them. I think we
are. Anyhow.
I didn't hear any of them speak up, so I was waiting right there for that.
So. Oh, okay. All right. With that being said, guys, this has been episode 11. We'll catch you guys in the next one.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace.